I'm Eric Vernon.
And I'm Kevin Baldwin.
And together we are
Baldwin and Vernon.
Well, one thing that's come up a lot, Eric, is people are asking me and people are calling the office regarding the new marijuana laws. I know that across the nation, there's been a movement to decriminalize marijuana. A lot of prosecutors' offices are now saying that they're not even going to bring marijuana charges for people who have just a joint or a small amount of marijuana. And that even the state of Missouri now has passed a law that says that some marijuana is legal. And during this process, what have you found to be the most important things that we should know and that the public should know about these new marijuana laws?
Well, first of all, the public needs to know that that is a misconception, that in Missouri, marijuana, in whatever amount, is still illegal. It has not actually been decriminalized. What they did, there's two major changes, and a lot of folks have probably heard about them. And the recent one that everybody's heard about is the medical marijuana issue, which I'll talk about later. But the first thing that happened a couple of years ago, the legislature completely revamped the criminal code. Mostly what they did is they created some new classifications. So you remember it used to be A, B, C, D felonies?
Yep.
And they've added an E. And so now the C felony, it used to be maximum of 7 years in prison, and now the C felony is a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 10. So they've added another kind of crime, another classification of crime, and then they've readjusted where all the crimes fit. And as a part of that process, one of the substantive things they did that feels a little bit like decriminalization, but really is not, is they made possession of less than 10 grams of marijuana a Class E misdemeanor.
Now, wait a minute. I don't do metric. What if you're talking 10 grams, that to me, you might as well be saying 10 space parsecs, because I don't understand what 10 grams mean.
Well, I think most marijuana users do.
What is that? Probably true.
And I'm not sure. That's like a couple joints, I think. So 36 grams in an ounce, right?
Okay, 36 grams
so
in an ounce.
A third of an ounce. But probably 10 grams is probably a couple of joints.
I'm heartened by the fact that our drug users are learning the metric system. So that's good.
Yeah, y'all probably know better than I do exactly what that means. But what that means is it's not decriminalized because it's still a misdemeanor. Now, because it's an E misdemeanor, the maximum penalty is a $500 fine. You can't get jail time for having less than 10 grams of marijuana the first time. But it's still a crime. It's still a misdemeanor. It goes on your record. You know, if you were to get pulled over and the state trooper would give you a ticket for your one joint, that Class E misdemeanor, it still goes on your criminal record. If you go into court thinking all I got to do is pay a $500 fine, that's the worst a judge can do to me. That's true. That's the worst a judge can do to you. But you'll now have a conviction for marijuana on your record. And, you know, in a lot of cases, that's not that big a deal. But if you want to get a license from the state, if you want to be a real estate agent, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be, if you want to get a license to run a daycare, or if you want to have a concealed carry permit.
Oh, they can hold that against you for going for a concealed carry permit?
Sure, they can. So, you know, lots of times you want to think carefully about whether or not you want to create that conviction record, because one of the things we can do is work with the prosecutors, assuming you're guilty, because, you know, we always get the police reports and we always review and we always talk to people, our clients, about the stops and what happened to see if there's a legal way out of the case. But assuming there's not a legal way out of the case, we always try to find a way to resolve the case so that you don't create a criminal record.
And a lot of times, I think what I have seen in the past and in our previous dealings were, we had people that, for instance, young kids, 16, 17, 18 years old, actually 17, 18 years old, who end up with a marijuana ticket, didn't want to tell mom and dad, so they just paid it or they just handled it themselves. But it came back to bite them when they wanted to live in government housing, meaning dormitories at colleges, things like that. And a simple criminal conviction for possessing marijuana, even if you paid a fine, can have lifelong effects if you want to do anything in the future. So you really need to think about it. And what I've always told people, because I've had kids in high school, and I've had parents of those kids call me and say, "Is this a big deal?" And my answer is always, "Yeah,
yeah, yeah." Because you will be shocked. You'll be shocked. You know, parents will be shocked when you're filling out that FAFSA form, mm-hmm. right? The financial aid form that you fill out to get your kids their college
loans and grants.
And grants and things. And there's a big old question on there with a little box, yes or no, have you been convicted of a drug crime in the last 5 years?
And if you've pled guilty to a misdemeanor possession of marijuana, the answer to that question is yes. And it could cost you money.
Now, as far as what's actually happening out there, it depends. You can't... Gene Peters Baker, the prosecuting attorney in Jackson County, recently announced that she is not going to prosecute minor marijuana crimes. So she's not going to prosecute e-misdemeanors. But that is one prosecutor in the metro area. I'm not even going to start talking about Kansas. We do most of our work in Missouri. We're both licensed in Kansas, and yes, we go there. But the laws are so different. In the last few years, I've been referring people to lawyers in Kansas to deal with those kind of cases. But even in Missouri, so Gene Peters Baker says Jackson County is not going to prosecute a highway patrol ticket or a sheriff's ticket for, you know, less than 10 grams of marijuana. However, there's lots of municipalities that are still prosecuting those. And there's lots of other counties in the metro area and between here and St. Louis, or between here and the lake, where they're more than happy to prosecute marijuana cases.
And when you say Jean Peters Baker, she's only in charge of Jackson County. Understand, Kansas City is in Jackson County, Clay County, and Cass County. And it's in those situations, you're dealing with a municipality that is wide-ranging. Also, the municipal prosecutor might still prosecute you, even though the county prosecutor is not prosecuting you. Up in Clay County, again, there's a lot of municipalities. There's their own Clay County Prosecutor's Office, and there is a large chunk of Kansas City north of the river, that is governed by Clay County Prosecutor's Office. And they have, to my knowledge, they have not come out with a decision one way or another how they're going to treat these.
And well, my understanding is, from what I've been hearing, is they're still prosecuting them. Now, how they resolve them, like most of the prosecutors around town that are still prosecuting marijuana, they don't want anybody to go to prison or jail. But they're still prosecuting them, and you still could have consequences of having these things on your record for the rest of your life, which you'd prefer not to. Now, that's metro area. Once you start, like I said, if you're driving down to the lake, or if you're driving up I-35 to go visit somebody in Des Moines, there are a lot of counties outside the metro area where they are, I've told clients before, they may be geographically closer to Kansas City, but they're, you know, culturally closer to somewhere in Mississippi.
Well, I think the old rule used to be the farther away you get from the city, the harsher the penalties and the more strict they enforce these drug penalties.
And, you know, judges up there still run for election, and they're responsive to their constituency, and there's a lot of very conservative constituencies that think, marijuana is an evil drug. And so they can be very harsh. The other thing, here's a funny thing. You know, the Class E misdemeanor, the maximum penalty you can get is a $500 fine. However, you can be arrested for it. You can be arrested and required. So you can actually spend a day or two in jail, even though the penalty can't include jail time.
Yes, but while they're waiting to process you through. One of the things I want to remind people is just even if you are caught with marijuana and you're like, oh my gosh, I did have the marijuana, I'm just going to plead guilty and get this over with. Don't do that. Because what you want to do is you want to talk to a lawyer. Because a lot of times what we do is, a lot of times it's not about guilt or innocence. It's about damage control. It's about, okay, well, maybe you did have marijuana. But maybe the prosecutor is like, look, I don't want to ruin this kid's life or this guy's life. I'll be willing to reduce that charge to something else. Now, it might be more expensive. And it might require a lot of work by Eric or our office. But at the same token, that's money well invested. Because if you can get something other than the drug charge... But they still get to punish you. That's the thing, is they still want to make sure that you know you're still being punished, but maybe not for that specific crime, maybe a lesser included crime. And that's something that can actually be to your great benefit later on in life.
Right. Now, the other thing that we need to talk about, make sure people are not getting too excited and running away with, is the medical marijuana. So we voted for and we passed this constitutional amendment allowing medical marijuana in the state of Missouri. And it went into effect back in December, but there are some timelines involved. And so the Department of Social Services still has several months up until June to start issuing guidelines and start taking, putting out forms out there so you can get your ID card, that kind of thing.
Let me ask you this. I hate to interrupt you, but if I am from California and I had that medical marijuana card from California, is that valid here in Missouri?
I doubt it. So they haven't issued their guidelines yet, but I would sincerely doubt it. I would say that probably is not going to fly in the state of Missouri. Like I said, the department is still working on actually coming up with the guidelines on exactly how that kind of thing is going to work. But here's the other thing. It's not the way the law that we passed is written, the way the constitutional amendment is written, you can't get marijuana for a hangnail. You know, you can't get marijuana because you feel bad. There are enumerated reasons why, enumerated maladies that you can have. And I tell you what, I had to go look it up. So, and there's some kind of broad categories, but they list, the amendment actually listed, medical marijuana will be allowed for cancer, epilepsy, glaucoma, migraines that are unresponsive to other treatment, debilitating psychological disorders, chronic and severe persistent pain, HIV, terminal illnesses, and other chronic disabilitating diseases. And then there's one other category where if it's a chronic and disabilitating condition that requires drug treatment that could be lead to a dependency, and your physician decides that marijuana would be safer.
Okay.
So I would think probably there are some, like if you have chronic pain and you're taking oxycodone, you know, you might be able to find a doctor who would say, why don't you try marijuana? That might be safer. See how that goes. But other than that, it's not just a free pass. You don't get to go in and say, I got a headache, doctor. Will you write me a script for marijuana?
Well, one of the important things there is you said doctor. So I'm assuming that this is not, if you self-medicate, that's not some kind of exclusion under this law.
Correct. Now, the other good thing, though, the other really good thing about the constitutional amendment is if you are a qualified patient and you do get the ID card and register with the state, you can cultivate your own. You can have up to six flowering plants, so that you don't get in trouble for producing the drug. And so it's not just a moneymaker for big pharma.
Okay, because in a lot of situations, I mean, even if with a medical marijuana card, if you go down to the avenue and decide that you're going to find some guy named Vinny who's going to give you a dime bag, that's still illegal.
That's still illegal.
Even if you've got your medical marijuana card.
That's still illegal. However, as far as, you know, if we're talking about marijuana, and we back up to the reclassifications, right? So selling small amounts of marijuana is a lower classification of felony now. It used to be a little bit worse, so a Class E felony, the lowest classification of felony is what you could be charged with for selling less than 35 grams of marijuana. So that's a little bit easing up of the law on delivery too. Now, for what it's worth, all those other drugs, cocaine, heroin,
opioids,
methamphetamine, the amount doesn't matter. It's a felony. It is a class. It's a Class D felony. It's just like it was before. It's no more than 7 years in prison, but it is still a felony. It is still a big deal in the state of Missouri to be possessing or using or selling those other controlled substances.
There's no forgiveness for those.
No. However, and you know, Judge Fisher, the presiding judge of the Supreme Court.
Yep.
He just recently, just a couple days ago, gave a State of the Judiciary address, and he talked about urged us to reduce, well, urged us as citizens and as the government to reduce the amount of people that we send to prison, right? He suggested that we should be sending people to prison only because we're afraid of them, not because we're mad at them. And that is something, that is a philosophy that has been growing slowly in the courts throughout Missouri. And so one of the things for people with more serious drug problems than marijuana, people who have addictions to heroin and methamphetamines, there's a lot more county circuit courts in Missouri where you can get treatment courts, where you can actually go to court and participate in a drug treatment program and in some cases walk away without a conviction.
Now, those are called drug courts, correct?
That's right.
Now, in fact, and I'm going to blow the horn that you're not blowing, and that is the fact that you actually helped participate in the creation of the drug court in Clay County, Missouri. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that was years ago.
It was back in 2000.
And so for almost 18 years ago, you were one of the original members that helped initiate that. And during that time, have you seen the judges in Clay County, have you seen them become more receptive to it?
Oh yes. In fact, Judge Alexander, who is the current drug court judge in Clay County,
which is funny because he was actually the drug prosecutor in Clay County before he became a judge.
He was sort of when they created the team to create the drug court in Clay County. I went along as an assistant to my boss, who was the public defender in Clay County, and Judge Alexander, then assistant prosecuting attorney Alexander, went along as the assistant to Don Norris, who was the prosecutor at the time, and we were all part of this team. And I don't think Judge Alexander would mind me saying that in 2000 he was not a fan of the idea of treatment courts. He was not a fan of the idea of coddling criminals, I think. He is a fantastic judge. He's a fantastic judge today, and for the last however many years he's been doing it, to be on the treatment court. He gets it, and he knows what he's doing. I think he gets it now better than I ever could have, because he deals with it every week. Every week he's in there, and he's hearing the stories of the people, the addicts and the users who are trying so hard and often failing. Because that's part of the disease. Relapse is part of the disease, and people have problems. And he probably doesn't want his drug court participants to hear this, but he's actually compassionate. He cares quite a bit about them. He's empathetic, and he really, really strives to help them succeed in the program. You hear people say that Clay County's program is the toughest in the area. I don't know if that's true or if it really matters, but what I do know is he really cares and he really tries, as do the other judges. Commissioner Fry in Jackson County, he works really hard to help all the people in the treatment program succeed, because that's the goal.
I know that there's been a lot of successes, too, because you're talking about more than 18 years since it really came to fruition. And during that time, I know that one of the things I heard Judge Alexander talk about was the fact that he remembers somebody who was in their 20s and suffering with the affliction, and that went into drug treatment and worked through it. And now he sees that same individual who had that debilitating affliction, you know, being addicted to drugs, that they have beat it through the drug court. They beat it. Now they are married. They have a family. They have a business. They're a productive member of society. And more importantly, they don't have a criminal conviction preventing them from pursuing the American dream.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I have clients that I've referred to the drug court system that call me up periodically to thank me. Or I'll just run into them and they'll thank me. They'll come up and say, Eric, thank you so much, because it's the best thing that ever happened. And it's like, you know, you see those before and after pictures. You know, here's somebody on meth a year and a half in, and it's stark. The contrast of what they look like and how they were living their lives compared to a few years after drug court, like you said, having families and jobs and being successful.
I actually remember one of your clients who, when she first came in, you came in to ask me, because I'd seen her, and you said, Kevin, how old do you think she is? I go, she looks like she's almost like 55, 60. And you told me, Kevin, she's 30. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. It looked like, you know, that it wasn't the years, but it was definitely the mileage. And I remember that same gal 18 months later, and how she went back to looking like a woman in her 30s. And, you know, and then she's been successful. And I know drug court had a lot to do with it. And then your representation of her, getting her into the drug court, which isn't always easy. You got her into the drug court, and then you were there with her during it. When she had the relapses, you went to explain to the judge, this is what happened, judge. But I think that she could still benefit, judge. And I think that if we did this part of the program or had her go inpatient here for a period of time, that we could save her. And I credit you, Eric, with doing, and that's an amazing thing. Amazing thing.
And thank you so much. And, you know, there's more than just, I say treatment courts because there's more than just the drug court, right? Because there's some, I guess I'd say more specific problems that people have, or maybe more importantly, more specific resources that can be brought to deal with problems. And so we have people, we have mental health court, because lots of times the drug use is self-medication for people that are bipolar or have schizophrenia, that kind of thing.
Well, I want to jump in on you right there, because I know that a lot of times you've also seen this with vets.
Well, that's right. And we have veteran courts. There are, in fact, Jackson County, Clay County, both have veteran court. I think Platte County may be working on establishing a veterans court. Kansas City Municipal Court has a veterans court. And so, yeah, veterans court. And that's a really cool thing, because the VA has tremendous resources. They're very, very helpful. And in Clay County, it's helpful because in Clay County, the drug court is funded in part by the Tri-County Mental Health system. And so you have to live in the Tri-County area, Clay, Ray, Platte, to be in the drug court in Clay County. But the veterans court in Clay County, you can live in Jackson County, because it's the funding largely comes from the VA.
And up there, who is the judge in charge of the veterans court?
That's also Judge Alexander, who himself is a veteran.
Is a veteran, as you are a veteran.
That's right.
And I know that you often appear in veterans court on behalf of individuals.
Well, and in fact, actually, I've only referred one client, I think, to veterans court in the last few years. But I'm on the I'm actually on the veterans court. So part of the treatment court philosophy is they create these teams of people that include treatment providers, probation officers, prosecutors, and that sounds really awful. And so they try to get somebody from the criminal defense side to participate, and that's been difficult because, you know, we're all private practitioners and we're trying to make money and we have a lot of time obligations. And the public defender's office in Missouri is its own, you know, we could have a whole nother episode on the crisis with the public defenders, because they just are too busy. They just have too many clients and are too busy. Well, when they established the veterans court in Clay County, they reached out to a number of veterans who are criminal defense lawyers in Clay County. And so there's five or six of us who rotate through, and we all try, in fact, in an hour or so, I got to go up to Veterans Court, and I don't got it, but I'm going to, and participate just as part of the team member to bring the criminal defense and veteran perspective to the drug court team.
That's fantastic. Eric, I am proud to be your partner.
I'm proud to be your partner. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I am Eric Vernon.
I'm Kevin Baldwin.
And together we are
Baldwin and Vernon.
You can call us on our phone number at 816-842-1102.
Or you can reach out to us online at www.baldwinandvernon.com, or just search for us on Google. And you can Google Kevin Baldwin, attorney, Kansas City, or
Eric Vernon, attorney, Kansas City.
Also in our office, we have Sylvia Hernandez, who is an associate with our firm and is fluent in Spanish. So if you're a Spanish speaker or would prefer to speak in Spanish with a Spanish-speaking lawyer, Sylvia is the one you want to talk to.
We look forward to your call.
Thank you very much.